So one more time, we are up to Ezra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavav. We are continuing the command, the proclamation of Daryovesh Hamadi. Haparsi. Daryovesh ben Ezra Haparsi. That is giving Ezra permission. It's now after the Beis Hamidrash has been. It's complete. It's functional. They've made a Chanukah Sabayis. And now Baruch ben Neriah has died, and Ezra is making the second aliyah, the second wave of Olim are now going to travel to Eretz Yisrael to participate in the Bayis Sheni. And we have this very nice long letter of support that was provided by the king Daryovesh Melech Paras to Ezra, commanding, giving him authority to do whatever he sees fit in Yerushalayim, and he also gave him very lavish gifts, personal gifts from the Malchus, from himself, from the seven Royei Pnei HaMelech. And the Pasuk also mentions that the non-Jews living in Paras also gave very large donations to the Beis HaMikdash, and of course the Jews themselves, who did not participate in the Aliyah, also gave Ezra very lavish gifts to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. And all of this was acknowledged, and permission was granted for this wealth to be taken out of the country. We learned also that Kalim, Daryovesh gave over to Ezra Kalim, which he didn't want it to be actually used. Not, they should not be sold, they should not be exchanged, but the Kalim themselves shall be Shalim, shall be actually handed over and be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And then perhaps the most important thing we learned yesterday is authority. Ezra was given permission to set up a government, to set up some form of shoftim v'shoytrim, like this week's parasha, Yisrael, where we have shoftim v'dayonin. And he shall select from people that are already living there that are knowledgeable in the Torah. And those that are not knowledgeable, I guess he shall set up a program, a training program, a shofet training program. We have today teachers training program, so this was a dayan training program. Train you to be a dayan. It's one thing to get... Yeah.
His name is Mastavsky, he just became a judge. They sent them to judge school.
Oh, really? They have such a thing called judge... That's very interesting. I was not aware. It's in the judge school, okay. You have to know. So there's something called, there's not only do you need smicha, you have to know the practical ins and outs of being a judge. And this is what Daryovesh told Ezra. Now we're up to next order of authority, which is a very powerful pasuk of Avav. Now Daryovesh tells Ezra, I'm giving you power. Not only do you have authority to set up judges and to do whatever you see fit, and I'm giving you control over funds that are in the region, assets that are in the region that I own, but I'm telling you that anyone that does not listen to what you command, you have the power, capital punishment. You have the power to the power of capital punishment. Anyone that does not do the law, di elokach, the law of God, the dosah di malkah, and the law of the king. So there are two things, law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the law of the king. I assume means the king of, Daryovesh. Daryovesh. So he's giving him power to carry out my law as well. You have the power to carry out the law of Hashem, and you also are authorized from the government to carry out the law of the king. Asparna swiftly. Dino lehave misaveh mina. We had that word many, many times. Asparna is very quickly. The law shall be dino judgment. Lehave misaveh mina. Now we can appreciate this in America. System of justice that can go to a case, can go on for decades until a law is decided. Here he makes it very clear, I don't want the dilly-dally. Any law that needs to be handed down shall be done swiftly. Shall be done to him. Now what does this include? Hain lemos, capital punishment, death. Hain lish roshi. Now we're going to discuss that in a few moments, what that means to uproot. Rashi learned simply means that not only will the person, the criminal, be killed, you have a right to kill the entire family. Now that l'chora is k'neged hat kol ha-Torah kula. In the Torah, ish b'cheto yumas. There's no such thing as killing a family.
Anyway,
to kill a family because of one person. It seems that in the non-Jewish world, this was done in ancient times. That if there's a criminal, not only is the criminal executed, but it was a technique that don't commit a crime because we're going to torture. I'm going to kill your entire family. Scare tax. Even though a person himself may not care for his life, he could not care less. He feels that his life is not worth living. He will do whatever. He'll take his own risk, but he realizes that it's not a good idea to get involved in crime because then your innocent family members are going to suffer. That was the ultimate deterrent. The ultimate deterrent. What?
In Russia, the
ultimate deterrent is.
You don't want to leave behind somebody to take revenge. Yeah, Stalin. In Israel, they do.
If there's a son.
So that was the other part of the.
What do you mean?
In other words, if you leave. You leave the family members behind.
Yeah. I'll take revenge. Okay.
You eliminate.
Israel, they do that. We have like a suicide bombing. Then
they knock down the house. They take an economy. So it's a deterrent. It's a very powerful deterrent. So this was something which was done. It was done by the secular governments. But it was not. We do not find any precedent for this. Any makar for this in Jewish law. In the Torah, there's no such thing as this tactic. The scare tactic of wiping out family members. Ish b'cheto yumos. A person dies for his own sin, you don't go harm. So here, Dayavesh is telling Ezra that I'm giving you permission not only to kill, not only to bring death upon the perpetrator, but as well to call harm, lishrosh, to uproot his entire family. What does that mean? Over here, l'chora, Ezra is telling him to follow Jewish law. So the commentators are very disturbed. So they want to suggest many, many answers. The simplest answer is, in a chanami, Dayavesh was ignorant. He was not knowledgeable of Jewish law. He assumed that Jewish law was similar to Persian law. As he mentioned above, I'm giving you power to follow Persian law as well. The law of your God, of Hashem, and the law of... and the law of the Persian law of Dimalka. So it appears that this was not in Echanami, it was not Jewish law, but if you want, you have the option of carrying out Persian law. And that's what Dayavish was telling. Oliver Farshim, yeah.
But before it seems he was quite knowledgeable because he knew every type of carbon. He mentioned mincha.
Not necessarily. They were pagan sacrifices. It could be this something. The one thing he knew, one thing he did not know. He knew the laws. Some people know, you know, Archaim. When it comes to Chayshim Mishpat, they don't have a clue. They don't even know Aleph Beis. They don't even know where to look up something is in Chayshim Mishpat. Even know Ezer, Yerodea. So things he knew, he did not. Yeah.
Is there a distinction here between civil law and religious law?
Lishroishi, that's may going further. That's the next part of the pasuk. Okay, simply we'll see Rashi in the Mitzvahs in a moment. But simply lishroishi means death. According to Rashi, it means to uproot the entire family. It's included in the law of Lemos. If a person has committed a crime, treason, or he's committed avodah zarah, gilurai, shvichastam, whatever the case is. Yeah.
Where there's a conflict between, let's say, Persian law and
Jewish
law. Did he leave it up to them? What to?
It seems he did. It seems that's included in the beginning of the pasuk where he says, "Dosadi elokach v'dosadi malkach." He's giving you control to decide when to use Jewish law and when the circumstances are that you shall use the Persian law. He's giving him a choice of two different laws. The elokach, v'dosadi elokach, v'dosadi malkach. More than I don't know.
It's also possible to learn. Rashi doesn't learn this way, but it's possible to learn the Shor Show. We said before that one of the techniques that they used in war, for example, is they moved you from one place to another.
Aha, very interesting.
Shor Show could be moving.
Okay, that's very good. I didn't see that. That's a very good idea, like the technique of Ashur to uproot nations from one location. They're not familiar with the territory. It's a very good idea. That's a very good point. Adam Farshim, okay, we'll come back. Adam Farshim say it simply means cherem. Good morning. It means to put the person in, excommunicate them, to uproot him from his friends. It doesn't necessarily mean to take him to a different location, but no one is allowed to have dealings with this person because he has sinned. So it does not necessarily mean to uproot him from this world by killing him, it means to uproot the person that either you take him from this world or you will excommunicate him. We'll see the possible, see the Rashi and the Mitzvot in a moment. Hein la'anosh nichsin, to punish him, to impose fines, to punish him, to take away his property, villa esurit, imprisonment, to put a person in jail. So this is a very interesting concept. We don't find in Chumash, people always ask this question, is there such a concept of prison in the Torah? incarceration. We find that's a rehabilitation center. That's a rehabilitation center, and the person could not really guilty. It was an accident, inadvertent murder. But what about a person that is a danger to society? He's a criminal. He's a ganef. He stole, four, five, whatever he did. He committed terrible crimes. He's a danger. What does the Torah want from us to do to this person? Nowhere in the Torah are there any mitzvos. It's not in the Tayag mitzvos. How to deal with a criminal? How do we deal? So it's discussed. So it could very well be that in different times in history, when you have a certain ideal society, it was dealt with in different ways. Even today in the government, I don't remember. I remember years ago when I was in
Ryan, they had it.
Okay, by the secular government. You have a criminal; they kill the criminal, they torture, they torture and they kill. They have their own set of laws. But how does the Torah want us to deal with criminals? What degree of you know, if a person, let's say you have circumstantial evidence that a person committed a crime, well, you know for a fact a person committed a crime, and it's very likely he's going to commit a crime more times. He can hurt other people. How do we deal with him? What does the Torah want us
to keep us all day?
So we do find such a concept of kippa. That's in the Gemara. That's not in the Torah. Where if a person, we know for a fact that a person is guilty, he's a murderer. So we do find in Chazal that he's killed.
This is not a crime, but during Moshe's time, where there were two people that were misnabbing, and Yeshua suggested to Moshe that he should lock them up.
Doni Moshe Kiloim. Kiloim is even worse. Kiloim means kill them.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think
Kiloim means to imprison.
Imprison?
Not it means to imprison.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay. I think it's used.
It comes from the word
base kelo to imprison them. Okay. But I think also, I think finish off. That's how I remember learning. Kiloim means that it says these people are saying the Shem Hashem. Look, Moshe said Moshe took the law into his own hands. He saw an Ish Mitzri was hitting an Ish Ivri. So what did he do? He said the Shem Hashem, Bayar Kienish, he looked into his future that no tzaddikim will come from him, he killed him. So where is law and justice? Where is the a system of justice? So you do find the Ishei HaTanach taking the law into their own hands. That's a separate issue. But let's say if you're going to have a system law, even today in America, there's a debate. What is the purpose of jail? Is it rehabilitation or is it a punishment? Are we trying to punish the person or no? The government, so in Echanami, there's some degree of both. We want to punish him, or we just want to protect society. It's not our role to punish people. That is for God. And the very big nafkamin is, if the entire ideology of prison in America is just to protect society, it's not to punish a person, so you give the person a good life. Let him have whatever he wants in prison, as long as it's not a crazy expense to the society, because we're just trying to protect ourselves. We have a person, he's a danger to society, we are not going to take it on. We're not going to punish him. We're just going to put him away that he shall not cause more harm to the other members of society. Is that the role of prison? Or maybe no. We have a moral obligation to punish, to torture, and to deny him good for the harm he has caused other people. This is an ongoing debate in the American courts. To what degree does the government have a right to bring punishment upon a person for no reason? Like, it's one thing, you want to go extract information. You have a terrorist and you want to go and extract a sensitive information, okay, so maybe you can torture him. That's another issue. But in the Torah, it's not clear how the Torah wants us to deal with people who have committed crimes. We mentioned the keeper. Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned the keeper. The keeper is the person, we know for a fact the person is guilty. We find in Chazal that we put him into basically a straitjacket, and the straitjacket has no room to budge, and we feed him barley, a certain food which causes his body to expand, and there's no room to expand in this body suit, and that causes him to die. Why don't we just give him capital, give him the dalad misos bezdin? No, the dalad misos bezdin is a kapara. That's a very high madrega where there are witnesses in Asra. That's a certain form of kapara. When a person has to be put to death because he's a danger to society, he's killed without the dalad misos bezdin in an indirect way. So, but here we do find here at least explicitly to say for Ezra when they're coming up to Eretz Yisrael, seemingly all within the framework of halacha, because all this is included to some degree in dasa di elokach. Okay, he also mentions dasa di malkah, but he does mention this concept called vile esurin, imprisonment. Imprisonment, Ezra, you are given authority to put people in prison, something you don't find explicitly in the Torah. The Torah deals with monetary compensation and deals with death. It's not mentioned in Chumash, Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and it's not even mentioned in Nevi'im. We find the Goyim, we find the Nebuchadnezzar, we find the secular kings taking Jewish kings and Jewish people, putting them in prison. But we don't find members of Klal Yisrael putting other people from other nations or ourselves, people from society. And here, at least in Tanakh, we mentioned yesterday, anything that's in Tanakh, Chof Dalos, this is not just Stam, a history book. Everything that's in Tanakh is Kodesh. The Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, every single word is for a very deep lesson. We read over here these psukim. Okay, so it says prison, it says the Jewish law, the secular law. The fact that this is recorded in Sefer Ezra, and Sefer Ezra is one of the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh that has been sanctioned by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to be the canon. This is it. There is great lessons and significance in every single word. And if we find this concept of Vile Esurin, there is definitely something to discuss, something to take note of. Let's see the Rashi, Pasuk Chavav in the Rashi. Rashi says, V'chol di lo lehevi avod, anyone that does not follow the rules. V'chol asher lo yiye oiseh dato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anyone that does not follow the laws of Hashem. V'dos HaMelech, the law of the king, which means himself, Mehera, that's Asparna, Ya'akev, Hadin v'hamishpat, the din v'mishpat, Yaakov. That's Yaakov. I'm not sure what that word means. Do you know what that means? It means exactly shall be carried out. In this context, it means shall be carried out. What? Yaakov. I mean, no means to delay. No. In this concept, Pasuk of Vav and Rashi, the Chol Asher Lo Yeh Oiseh Dato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Dos HaMelech Mehira.
It's Yaakev to do.
Yaakev Hadin V'HaMishpat shall be carried out. The din and the mishpat shall be carried out. The dina Hadin Yeoseh Mimenu Min HaMaakev Mishpat, from the person that carries out the judgment. Hey Lamus Lehorek Hein Lishrosh. Here's the word we want to focus on. Im lo okroi min ha'olam oso v'es zaro v'es mishpachto. Okay, so Rashi makes no room for doubt. He learns that lishroshi means to uproot not just the perpetrator, but the entire family, his children and his family. A very severe form of punishment. Hein le'enosh nechasim im le'onshoi b'mamon. You have authority to impose fines. Ule asurin ole yasro b'yisurin. So Rashi does not say prison. Other mafarshim teach this to me. I think we'll soon see in the Sudos, prison. He learns le'asurin means torture. Okay, so talk about that. It's such a sensitive term in modern times. Torture. I'm giving you authority, Ezra, to torture people. Unbelievable.
But they did that in order for somebody with a get, for example. They used to
koifin oiso. That's not necessarily torture. Koifin oiso at sheyoy meroitza ani. Koif means you force him. Is forcing really mean to torture? I don't know. That's the whole debate with the get law. That's the very big debate. Pressure. When you put it, when you apply pressure, that's where we. No, there are different levels. Okay, financial incentives. Doesn't say to torture. It says koifin. Koifin means to force. Torture happens to be one form of coercion. If it's uncomfortable, it's painful. You suffer physical pain. But there are other ways to coerce people. If you're in a very, very close-knit society, and if you could make a proclamation that no one should give him an aliyah, for some people that's enough. The being a shun, you can't get an aliyah, no one's going to come into your store, no one's going to use your services, that may be enough. Doesn't say torture, physical torture. Okay, so What?
Coercion.
There are many forms of coercion. That's the whole the issue of the get law. The get law where the government where they impose very stiff fines. So is that in the category of koifin? That's a very big debate. So here we go. Last oil yashal be sunat kan ath kan oil yashal. That's someone who's focused on it. According to the parish of Rashi, that he's being sanctioned. Dayavish is giving permission for Ezra to torture people who do not follow the laws. Ad kan michtav hageres pasik. Pasik Chavav is the conclusion of the Paschegen Hanishtavan. Paschegen is the text. Hanishtavan is the letter. The letter that was given to Ezra, and it was Ezra presented to the people who ruled in the Middle East in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
Could it be that this being a fairly new colony?
Yeah. Okay.
Without really established authority.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe he was given the leeway to go beyond an extra halachic.
I would say the opposite. A new colony, you start off very small. You start off very, very small. Look at the Palestinians. So they're trying very hard to make that. No, they're trying. The whole world is trying to let the Palestinians have their own little experiment to see what they can do. They don't give them power. Very demilitarized, very, very limited things. We're giving you an experiment to see how it goes. Here you're going to tell me that since the new colony, we're going to give you control, go to the extreme, you can do whatever you want, you can torture people? It's pretty extreme.
But there's leeway.
Okay, he's giving them authority to impose fines, to imprison people, to set up a system of justice. But it's very big chiddush that he's giving them such broad powers, giving Ezra very, very broad powers. Let's see. Ulasum Ad Khan Mikhaf Aigeras Shernos and Yavish Hamelch Ezra Hasif. I'm reading the Rashi. Leman Yish Yishohu Yisoehu Li Yerushalayim. He shall take this letter and carry it to Yerushalayim, leharoisot, and show it El Hakohanim VeHalavim, the Gizbori Hamelach, and all of the representatives of the king Daryovish, Leman Yachziku Lekayim Hamitzos, in order to strengthen them to fulfill the mitzvos of Hashem, VeLavoid Hashem, and to serve Hashem BeVeis Hamikdash, VeLishmor HaToyah. So this, the purpose, Rashi tells us the purpose of this letter was a very great source of inspiration and strength for the struggling little colony of Jews that were found in Yerushalayim at this very delicate time. It was the Klal Yisrael here was there in its incipient stage. They're just getting started here during the time of the Bayis Sheni. It was very delicate, and this letter served as a very great source of inspiration and strength for the people living there to continue serving Hashem and fortifying the Beis Hamikdash. Let's see the Mitzvot and Pasuk Chavav. Anyone that does not follow the law of the Torah. The das, and we know das means law. It's partial. You say it by wedding. Hare at mikudesh aslibe tabas zo kidas. Like the law. Law of Moshe v'Yisrael. Ya'ol said das ha-Torah shalom lukecha v'das shomel ha-mazir al-adavar. Anyone does not follow the law of Hashem, and anyone does not follow the law of the king, asparna chishmaher, an expression swiftly, yiyye nase mimenu mishpat, he shall be judged. I'm reading Pasuk Chavav in the Mitzudos. V'din hein im yil mishpat el hamiso, and he shall suffer the consequences, whether it be that he suffer death, im ye mishpat elu hamisa, to kill him. Hein in laakar shiroshav. What's the loymar? Lohamis oso viespanov, himself and his children. Hein laanshoy onush momen, or to punish him, to impose a fine, unchasim. Hein laostroy. So here's what I mentioned to you, that it means prison. Does not mean yisurin. It means imprisonment. A whole different twist. A whole different twist of what authority Ezra, very big nafkamina between Rashi and the Mitzudos, what degree of authority Ezra was given. to be put in prison. Everything shall be done very quickly. And as we mentioned, I think the Ibn Ezra and Rav Sadia Gaon and the Malbim, they all have different interpretations for the word lisharashoy. Does not mean that his family and children shall be killed. Ish b'chetu yumas. It means that he shall be banished. He shall be put in cherim, in shamta. A decree shall be made that no one is allowed to have anything to do with this person. And the Nela, this person has been uprooted from society.
So this only refers to the children, Rashi, Mishpach.
Mishpach as well. So you want to say there's some connotation in that as well. That's a very interesting point. I hear what you're saying. Very good. Okay, now we come. We can come now. Yeah.
I don't understand all this financial assistance.
Yeah.
Daryavish and his people.
I mean,
guys, the Jews, you can go. Here are your kalems and the gazin. But why all these heavy finances from the Persian people, from him? Okay, the Jews left, will give you some money.
We have to understand that this took place. We have to understand that this took place right after the Purim miracle. The miracle of Purim was fresh in the minds of everyone in the world. Everyone in the world, it was a gzer, lahashmid, laharug, lahabed, it's kol ha-yehudim, minar v'yad zokin, taf v'noshim b'yom echad. And the whole world turned upside down. The world now, the Jews are on top. Mordechai Yehudi, Mordechai Yosef, Lefnei HaMelech, B'levush Malchus, Techeles V'chor. The world was in shock. They were still reeling from the poor miracle. So now when the Jews are coming to establish a state, everyone doesn't want to get on Hashem's bad side. That's really what it meant. If we go back, we learned yesterday with this very very strange expression, Pasuk Chav Gimel. If we turn back to Pasuk Chav Gimel, why am I doing all of this? Di l'mo leheve kitzaf al malchus malka uvinohi. This is a very bizarre expression. I'm doing all of this. I'm giving you enormous wealth. I'm giving you assistance. I'm giving you authority that is beyond understanding, because I don't want Hashem to get angry at the king and his family.
In Mitzrayim, it happened the same thing. Gave them a lot of
at the end.
What's the understanding?
At the end, Hashem gave them chaim. They were terrorized. The whole world was shaken up with the miracle of Purim, and that's why he mentions this very bizarre. Says this very bizarre statement. I don't want Hashem to get angry at me. I'm afraid. There was Yiras Haraimimus. What?
Goodbye.
And not only goodbye, we'll give you presents. Let's help you. Let's establish. They were afraid for their own lives.
Seven or eight years
after. Yes, it did, but it was still fresh.
Why can't you say
yeah
that he was the son of Esther?
We do say that, yeah, yeah.
He's giving them.
That's see, the problem with that is the it doesn't say that. That's a very there's a very problem which I don't know the answer to, and Mefarshim are struggle with this. If it's really true that Daryavish was the biological son of Esther, which possibly it was, how come all that is absent? It doesn't. We don't have any mention of that. Esther is not mentioned in Sefer Ezra, Daniel, like you mentioned.
That's what I mentioned.
It's not. Where to go? What?
Cross reference.
There's no cross reference to.
There's nothing about Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel.
But
and
sure.
In Sfarim, there's no mention of Esther, Mordecai.
Right. Correct. Correct.
Even Shushan.
So what happened? What happened here? That's right.
After 8 years.
Yeah.
Goyim would forget.
Not necessarily. We live in a very quick society in the 21st century. Every day the world turns upside down. But in the ancient times, the world was very slow. 8 years is nothing. 8 years is like today, 5 minutes.
It takes 2 years for news to get around.
It was nothing. Even go back 50 years ago. The world traveled. The world was a very slow place. Nothing happened very quickly. Everything is very calm. Today, in one day, the whole world turns upside down.
So maybe
yeah.
The reason why it wouldn't mention about Esther.
Yeah.
It's the same reason like today we know that if there's a Jewish politician, they'll be accused of helping his own
kind.
It all depends on the time. Maybe today, sometimes you're proud that we have a Jewish politician, sometimes you're not proud.
Right, but the downside is that it helps Eretz Yisrael, for example, he's right away accused of helping his own
It
guy.
All depends. You can't generalize. It all depends on the situation on the ground. Esther definitely, without question, had influence over Daryavish. That's a given. That's a given. But it's not explicitly mentioned. According to some opinions, Daryavish was Esther's biological son, which means he had to be approximately 6 years old when he became Melech. as 6-year-old is not fit to make such great big decisions, which then has to mean that really Esther was calling the shots. So how come that's not mentioned anywhere explicitly in the pasuk? It's very strange. Someone learned that this Dayavish was much older. He was a child of Achashverosh from another marriage from way before, and that means when he took over office he wasn't 6 years old. Adopted, well then Esther, it wasn't Esther's child, but Esther had influence. Well, it could be that Achashverosh had a child from a previous marriage, and this child Dayavish succeeded Achashverosh, and when he took office he was much older. He was 30, 40 years old, and Esther was the queen. Okay, you're the queen, but I'm the king. There's a new sheriff in town, and I'll do what I want. I'm not necessarily the greatest Ohev Yisrael. I know that the queen is Jewish. It was only an accident that she's Jewish. He just gathered all the women from the entire world, and it happened to me, there was a very big secret, and was exposed later on, that she was Jewish, and fine, the miracle of Purim. So a lot of these things are debated. There are different opinions. There are some midrashim here and there, that some midrashim, they conflict with each other. There's some speculation, but it's not, you could start in secular history, what they say usually does not really go well with what we are taught, and it's a big mystery. The bottom line is, when the day is over, we have a big challenge.
Achashverosh is whitewashed in the Megillah because they were still in power, not the Jews. The same thing could have happened a little bit
here. Later.
Whitewash the situation.
Yes.
To make it seem like the Jews have control.
Right. Even when it comes to the rebuilding, the resumption of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, they have to go tell them, go check in the history books. Koresh gave permission. It was only 14 years ago. All of a sudden, Dayavish doesn't remember that Koresh gave permission for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael, and they had to go find the documents. The documents were stolen, and they were hidden in a pouch in where was it? One of the medinas of Bavel, not even in the capital of Paras or Madai. There was a lot of conspiracy going on, a lot of people playing games and whitewashing history, rewriting history, and a lot of things are still hidden from us, are very big mysteries. Yeah. Want to say something, Mcho?
Okay.
Yes.
We see that any king that was Ohev Hashem, Ohev Hashem,
yeah,
belonged to the mother. And in Megillah we see that there is no Shem Hashem.
Okay.
But Hashem was in everything of the
world. Okay. Okay.
Esther is, her name is not here, but she has been behind.
I don't know if you can compare the absence of Hashem's name to the absence of Esther. Okay, I hear what you're saying. He suggests, just like in the Megillah, Hashem's name is absent. So you see such a concept that Hashem is everything. Hashem is, and yet Hashem is absent. So you want to say that in Ezra, Esther is calling the shots, and she's also absent. I don't know if you can say that concept by a human being. You can say that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I understand. I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's finish up the parak. Now, this concludes the significant section of Sefer Ezra. Everything so far in this Sefer has been told to us in third person. There's a person speaking, this happened and that happened. It's being told to us indirectly. There is a narrative. We're being told what happened. Now, the Sefer shifts to first person. Ezra now speaks up, and Ezra speaks up almost until the very end. The Sefer is almost over. We switch back to Hebrew. We're going back and forth. Most of the Sefer, part of the Sefer was in Aramaic. Part of it was in Aramaic, which is not clear exactly why it was in Aramaic. Then we switch to Hebrew. Then when we mentioned the text of the letter, it's recorded word for word the way it was written, which was in Aramaic. For whatever reason, the official documents that were issued by the Persian government to the Jewish people were written in Aramaic, even though that was not their primary language. For whatever the reason. Now the letter is over. Now we're just going back to the narrative. And here there's a sudden shift. No longer is it being told to us in third person. It's being told to us in first person. Ezra is now speaking up. And he says as follows, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Blessed be Hashem, the God of our fathers. Asher Nosan Kozos has put this thought in Belev HaMelech, the heart of the king, Lefoer, to glorify the letter. Ezra, he is thanking Hashem for the beautiful letter that has been given to him from the king, which grants him sweeping powers and authority to do what he wants in Eretz Yisrael. All of this was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired Daryavesh in order to glorify a space Hashem Asher B'Yerushalayim. The Olai, and upon me Hita Chesed, Hashem has tilted, Hita means to turn, has cast kindness, Lifnei HaMelech, before the king V'Yoatzav and his seven advisors, the Shivas Roye Pnei HaMelech, as we learned yesterday and 2 days ago, U'lechol Sorei HaMelech HaGiborim, and among all of the mighty officers of the king, Vani his chazakti, I strengthened myself, Kiyar Hashem Elokai Olai, according to the hand, the koach of Hashem that has been put upon me, HaKadosh Baruch granted me extra special siyata d'shmaya, vo ekbitza mi Yisrael roshim lalos imi, and now I gather a second group of people to make with me aliyah. Remember, if we are going back 18 years ago, there were 42,360 Jews who listened to the call of Koresh to ascend. Then a significant number of them, we don't know exactly how many, 3 years later, after Koresh gave permission, Koresh said no more, I changed my mind, stop. And then we assume, we definitely know that some of them came back to Bavel. Now they returned. 14 years after Ezra said to stop building, 14 years later he said you can, in Daryavesh said you can build once again, they returned. And now, after the Mikdash was complete, which was now even 4 years later, after it's 100% complete, Ezra is returning and he's now asking for volunteers to come with him to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see there was a very small number of people who came with him. Approximately, what I counted, I added up all the numbers in the next parak, at least in the first wave, was 1,493. 1492? So here it's 1493. At least that's the number I added up. 1,493 people. That's the first group. He was very disappointed that there were no Levim, so he got a hold of a couple of more Levim, which just brought the number up. A few more, another, whatever it was. A very, very short. So that the Mefarshim read into this pasuk his chazakti. What does it mean all of a sudden Ezra is saying, I needed chizak? It almost sounds like he had to go to a doctor. He was suffering from depression. And he had to go and be mechazek himself. Why? Because he was very depressed. No one wanted to go. Here we have the Beis HaMikdash. It's been rebuilt. It's been rededicated. And we have living in Bavel. No one knows the numbers. It's a very big mystery. How many Jews were living in Bavel? Were there millions? Someone suggests there were millions of Jews living in Bavel. Some say, no, not millions. Hundreds of thousands. Some say maybe not hundreds, tens of thousands. But there were, let's assume it's somewhere in the middle. Hundreds of thousands, at least, if not millions. And how many are going? 1,493. It's a very great disgrace. They were spread out, but here it was only 70 years since the Churban. Why don't you want to come? How come no one wants to come? Only 1,493 Jews are willing to go back, to return to their roots, to the land of Eretz Yisrael, where you've been for the last 2,500 years. It was very, very depressing. Very depressing, and that's why Ezra here says v'his chazakti. I was very. He thanks Hashem. It's a very deep thing that's taking place over here. He's giving a bracha. He's thanking Hashem. Okay, so he thanked Hashem. A miracle happens. Good news. You thank Hashem. Okay, very nice. That itself is a very important lesson. But it's even a greater chiddush to give shevach v'oidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're suffering from depression. Good news has happened. But no one's interested. No one's interested. In a way, it's a terrible tragedy. And despite the tragedy, Ezra says, first thing is first. Baruch Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Not everyone would have reacted in the same way as Ezra. Many people would say, look at this, we have Beis HaMikdash, we have here millions of people, 5-10 million people, no one's interested. Wow, what a chil Hashem. And you walk away. To go and publicly express Shevach v'hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Starts with positive.
No, yeah, that's the koyach of Ezra.
Positive.
It's a very powerful lesson.
And instead of thanking Daryavesh directly
Hashem, of course, right. Well, that's not recorded. It could be that was assumed. That's a given. Of course, you know, you go before the Melech, it's Derech Eretz, you're taking the king. It doesn't say that. Why doesn't it say that? I don't know. Everything that's recorded is recorded for a reason. In Sifrei and Ksuvim. But let's first see the Rashi, and then we'll discuss one other issue. Pasuk of Zayin in Rashi. Baruch Hashem kach kosev Ezra b'Sifrei kasher nosan hoidolak of the Shparuch. So Rashi just pointing out that we're now shifting from... We're shifting from third person, we're now shifting to first person. Ezra is now picking up and is speaking, and he's thanking Hashem, Pasuk Chavches, V'yoyatzav, and he directed his kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, influenced the counselors of the king. Haim, who are the Yoatzav? These are the Shiva, Roye Pnei HaMelech, which we mentioned yesterday. Haim Shiva Ye'atohi Shalmala. The word Yoatz, the Roye Pnei HaMelech, is equal to the Aramaic word that we learned yesterday, Ye'atohi. He mentioned the Pasuk, the counselors, Shalmala of the Pasuk above. Kiyad Hashem Elokai Olai, Kashahoisa Ezrosoi Shalakodesh Baruch Hu, Olai Kodesh Baruch Hu assisted me. He directed his hand upon the government that I should find chain in their eyes, and they shall provide me with this assistance. And then what did I do? I got to work. The kibatzti mi yisrael hanisharim beBavel. I then collected from the Jewish people who remained in Bavel, roshei avos ugedolim, the heads of families and great people, people of influence and wise men, people whose talents will be used in the Beis Hamikdash and in setting up the new yishuv. La lois imi mi Bavel, to go up with me from Bavel. Let's see the mitzvahs very quickly in Pasuk Chof Zayin, Baruch Hashem, Eile Divrei Ezra Shehoido LaHashem Al HaToivo Kozos, Kadover Hazos Lazares Al Divrei Habris, concerning this matter. I'm sorry. Divrei Habayis, the Bayis, Ulufoher, and to glorify Uluroimim, and to elevate a space Hashem, the Olai Hamokoim Hashem, He to Olai Cheselif Ne'amelech, He turned His kindness upon me before the king. Hashem filled me with chain when I came in front of the king, that He was willing to write and give over to me such a beautiful letter, which authorized me to accomplish everything that I need to do in Yerushalayim. V'lechol v'lefnei kol ki Hashem. Hashem kifi akoyach shehoya mehashem olai roshim v'achadeim hoyu nimshochim yesram. So the Mitzvah says that once you have the leaders, automatically everyone will follow. If the Gedolei Yisrael will make aliyah, automatically the Hamoinam will follow suit. They will go and they'll take their lead. Now, why is it so that the people? Why was Ezra depressed? Why was it that only a very small number of people did indeed make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? So, Rav Schwab says something very interesting. He said, well, first of all, it's a very similar level. You don't have to apologize. They had a very good life. In these 70 years that they were living, we mentioned as we discussed before, in these 70 years that they were living in Babel, they developed an entire society, and they were very successful, and they had they were on very good terms with the government. They had a good life. So why should we give up our good life and go to a land where there's no indoor plumbing, and there's no food, and there are no creature comforts? They don't have wireless internet in Yerushalayim at this time. Here in Babel, we have our iPhones work. If we go there, the iPhones are not going to work. We don't have the network is not yet in place. Infrastructure is not there. So it was an extremely difficult, and people did, they felt that they're entitled. I read about this. It's very sad. After the war, World War II, people suffer. You can't judge anyone. They suffered so much, and they were nisyonos, and people felt their entitlement. After suffering so much, they can now take the easy way out. There are many different, you can develop this many different ideas. There was a sense of entitlement. We suffered, we lost everything, and we're entitled to take the easy way out. That was the approach many had. They had a Beis HaMikdash for 410 years. They suffered terrible losses. Many people lost their whole entire family. This was the Holocaust. Here they come to Bavel. It's now 70 years later. They've rebuilt themselves. We're entitled to retire in peace here in Bavel. We're not going to make the hard trip to Yerushalayim and start all over again at this stage in our lives. after what we have already suffered. That is the simple approach. Okay, Rav Schwab has a different approach. He suggests that it was an ideological approach to why they chose not to return. They felt this could not be the beginning, the Aschalto de Geula, because it was being done through a secular government. People were brought up with this expectation. It's a lot of parallels to the state of Israel, a lot discussed about this, but the people were brought up with an expectation that Mashiach will come, there'll be the Beis Hamikdash will come out of the sky. All of a sudden, Melech HaMashiach will appear on the scene. A tzaddik will be obvious to all. Everything is going to happen. L'mala miderech hateva. And it's not happening. There's a secular government. There's the person called Daryovesh. Daryovesh, whether he was Jewish or not, son of Esther, is one issue, but he certainly wasn't behaving like a Jew. He was behaving like a non-Jew. And even the Beis Hamikdash, on the Beis Hamikdash, on the front door, there was a big eagle. Shar Shushan Habira. This Beis Hamikdash has been dedicated by the Persian government. How could the Beis Hamikdash be dedicated by the Persian government? It was, this process was being done through a secular government. People felt this can't be the Geula. The Geula has to be done through Tzaddikim, through Yerei Shamayim, through Das Torah, whatever that means. And it's not. So this is not the real thing. It's a treif of Medina. It's a treif of Medina. Everything is no good. And they were not, we don't want this, it's not what we had in the mind. And I'm sure they brought support from numerous Memori Chazal that this cannot be what it's meant to be. And they decided to stay put and wait for the real Melech HaMashiach to come. And we're still waiting. Ezra told them, "You're all wrong. You're all wrong. This is the way the Geula, the second Geula, the Geula of Mashiach will come. It has to come through a natural process. It has to come first through a secular government. Will come. They will rebuild, and then one thing will lead to another, and ultimately it will turn into a Medina that is 100%." A governed Aldas Yisrael Saba, and then the Shechina will come, and then the ultimate Melech HaMashiach will arrive on the scene. But it has to come through a process that's not with Nisim v'Niflos, fairy tale process. It's not going to come like that. It has to come al derech hateva. And the people were very disappointed. They were brought up with this, and it's not nice to say, this fairy tale type of a vision of how Mashiach's going to come. Oni v'roichev al hachamar anani hakavot. Yeah, if we're taka roy, if we're worthy, it's no one's denying that it's true. If we're worthy, we're on a level of Yari Shemayim, then that's how it's going to be. But if we're not worthy, it has to come through a process of Derech HaTeva, which will one day lead into the ultimate miracles of the Hashuas HaShechina and all the miracles that we once had in the previous generations. But people didn't want, and that's why we're still waiting. So many people say the same thing about the state of Israel. Many people they claim that the state of Israel also it started off with not good intentions, and definitely not al pi derech haTorah. That's a given. And at the Gedolim at that time, okay, because all in history books, they had different opinions. There were many very heavy duty Gedolei Yisrael that believed very much in the state of Israel is basically a repeat of the story of Ezra. And we should not make the same mistake that we made in the time of Ezra. The time of Ezra, Chazal make it very clear, had the entire Klal Yisrael made Aliyah together with Ezra, Mashiach would have come. They chose not to because it's a secular Medina run under the Persian government. And because of that, Mashiach Taka did not come. Now, we're living over here in the 21st century, things are any different. We're on a higher Madrigal than they were in the time of Ezra? Certainly not. It has to be done through a process, a secular process, which begins with the United Nations giving Rishus, the United Nations basically serving the same function as what Melech Parah served, and there has to be this agree where we're going to come and build a Medina. At first, it's a secular Medina, but slowly people will be choyzer b'shuva, and it will become a Medina that will be operated, that will be governed through the laws of Torah. It's a direct parallel. And we should not chas v'shalom make that same mistake. Okay, that's one approach. But of course, I don't have to tell you, other people will tell you, no, there's another that's not necessarily correct. But you definitely have to be blind not to see that there is some truth to this. There is definitely some parallel between this aliyah and this that people held back not coming because they don't believe in it, what we see today in Eretz Yisrael. They say the numbers are the same, the population, the experts, the historians tell us that the number of Jews who made aliyah at the time of Ezra is equal to the ratio of the number of Jews who made aliyah relative to the ones that stayed behind is equal to the number of Jews in modern times who have come back to return to Eretz Yisrael relative to the number of Jews who have decided not to come to Eretz Yisrael and to remain in their comfortable lives in Chutz Liaretz. There's a lot of Musar, and who are we to talk with all here in America? Some of you are in the process of making aliyah, correct? Mr. Tepper, you go making aliyah, so in the process of making aliyah, so it's not coming with Katrin, and it's not so simple, don't get me wrong. There are very big Gedolei Yisrael which have very good answers. So it's not for us to judge, but it's for us to learn from. Yeah, and say something, yeah?
It's been 70 years, 77 from the time that they left, and they're in bubble now, 70 years.
Yeah.
So all these people have been living in bubble, are born in bubble. This is their homeland. People who are born somewhere, this they consider their place where their birth as their homeland.
But a Jew, your Jew belongs in Israel.
Secondly, most of those that could go, that we remember the old days, would be at least in their 70, 80,
correct,
90.
Correct.
It would be hard for them to travel.
But that's what being Jewish is all about. Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshuv V'Sishkoim V'Soicha. It's Uvinei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh B'Her V'Yameinu. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael no matter where he's born. That's part of the Nisayon. That's why many failed in this Nisayon to make Aliyah.